Hi everyone. We'll wait for a while people join onto this dais, and we'll start in a short while. We have about 50 people with us. We wait for another moment and then we start.
I think let's start, Anand.
Okay, we're going to start. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Good evening and welcome to Info Edge India Limited Q3 23 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be listen only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please raise your hand on your screen. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today from the management side, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Founder and Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Co-Promoter and Managing Director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin today, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve some risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer slide number 2 of investor presentation for detailed disclaimer. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thanks, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vivek. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter earnings call. As always, we will start with an update on our standalone financials and discuss the market conditions for each of our operating verticals, and then cover the business financials of each vertical in more detail. And then, of course, we'll have time for Q&A. The audited financial statements and other schedules on segmental billing, revenues, etc., along with the data sheet, have been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. Overall billings in Q3 grew to Rs. 550.7 crores, up by 14.5% from Q3 of last year. YTD billing stood at Rs. 1,617.7 crores, a YOY growth of 33%. Revenue in Q3 stood at Rs. 555.2 crores, up by 33.4% from Q3 of last year. YTD revenues stood at Rs. 1,594.7 crores, a YOY growth of 44.1%. Billing and revenues, along with the acquired businesses like Zwayam and DoSelect for the quarter, stood at 566.4 crore and 571.6 crores respectively. Operating expenses for the quarter, excluding depreciation and amortization, were Rs. 338.4 crores, again up by 14.6% from Q3 of last year. Operating EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 216.8 crores versus 120.9 crore last year, and a growth of 79.3% from Q3 of last year. And YTD EBITDA stood at Rs. 563.9 crores. Operating EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 39.1% compared to 29.1% in the same quarter of last year. And operating EBITDA, including acquired businesses, stood at Rs. 220.3 crores, a YOY growth of 83.1%. Cash from operations for the quarter stood at Rs. 241.8 crores compared to Rs. 251.6 crores last year for the same quarter. YTD cash generated from operations stood at Rs. 625.7 crores. You may have seen in our results that we have fully impaired our investment of 276 crores in 4B Network Limited through our subsidiary, in line with accounting policies and principles of conservatism consistently followed by the company. While we continue to believe that the real estate tech market has potential and had hoped that this investment would work out, we took this decision to write down the investment in the light of the current state of the environment and the significant uncertainty towards funding options available to 4B going forward. Deferred sales revenue stood at Rs. 835.4 crores as of 31st of December 2022 versus 623.4 crore as of December 31st, 2021, an increase of 34% year on year. The cash balance of InfoEdge, including the wholly owned subsidiaries, stands at Rs. 3,079 crore as on December 31st, 2022. It stood at Rs. 3,855 crores as of December 31st, 2021. In the recruitment business, our Q3 JobSpeak reported 8.8% YOY growth in hiring. However, IT sector hiring index was down by 14%. Amongst our non-IT customer base, sectors such as insurance, hospitality, retail, and banking posted robust growth. We are seeing longer sales cycles and spend optimization we experienced longer sales cycle and spend optimization during the quarter with various customers, especially in the IT sort of space. In the real estate market, we are currently witnessing an active primary and secondary market with increasing prices across top cities. We are also seeing higher demand for commercial space from non-IT and retail users. However, with the sixth straight increase in repo rates by RBI, we expect stability to return this in this space in some time. In our education vertical, we are witnessing pre-COVID patterns of examinations and admission processes across the country. Students have returned back to campus for their classes and are open to moving across the state for higher studies. However, we also noticed that students aspiring to study in the US universities are facing some visa delays. Moving on to the quarterly financials of the recruitment business, we'll cover each business in detail. In Q3 of 23, the recruitment segment billings were rupees 434.6 crores, up by 17.7% from Q3 of last year, while revenues were rupees 436.8 crores, up 40.3% from Q3 of last year. YTD billings stood at rupees 1275.2 crores, a YOY growth of 38.1%, while YTD revenues stood at rupees 1242 crores, a growth of 53.4%. Operating EBITDA stood at rupees 274.7 crores for the quarter, up 46.5% from Q3 of last year. And EBITDA margin stood at 62.9% versus 60.2% in Q3 of last year. Cash generated from operations for recruitment during the quarter stood at rupees 281.8 crores, up from rupees 260.7 crores in Q3 of last year. The business has generated 797, the recruitment business has generated 797.7 crores of cash from operations in the first 9 months of this year. Billings for Naukri India for the quarter stood at rupees 362.7 crores, up 17.8% year on year, while revenue for the quarter for Naukri India stood at rupees 367.6 crores, up 43.3% year on year. Recruitment segment billing, including acquired businesses like Zwayam and DoSelect, stood at rupees 450.4 crores, at a growth of 20.2% year on year for this quarter. IIM Jobs and Hirist had a YOY growth of rupees of 30.5% in the billing numbers, closing at 17.9 crores, up from 13.7 crores last year. We are seeing some concerns around macroeconomic factors, which have started impacting hiring on the platform by IT customers. The sales team is focused on increasing the velocity of closures and monetization of IT customers, non-IT customers during the quarter. The platform continues to witness vibrant job seeker traffic. Around 19,000 new CVs were registered per day during the quarter, a YOY growth of 15%. In our endeavor to guide and enable job seekers in their career journey, we launched a series of podcasts, videos, and articles, and a new content series called Workwise with Naukri. We maintained our marketing spends during the quarter in line to our previous quarter spends and focus on increasing reach of our digital video campaign targeting the Gen Z audience. Our review and rating platform, AmbitionBox, continues to retain its number one position as the employer review and rating platform in the country. Moving on to the Shiksha business, in Q3, Shiksha billings grew by 8.5% year on year and stood at rupees 27.8 crores, while revenue grew 26.2% year on year to rupees 27.7 crores. YTD billings stood at rupees 82.9 crores, a year on year growth of 22.4%, while revenue stood at 84.8 crores with a year on year growth of 28.1%. The business made an EBITDA of rupees 1.1 crore during the quarter versus a profit of rupees 2 crores in Q3 of last year. Cash flow from operations for the quarter stood at rupees 2.6 crores against an inflow of rupees 13 crores in Q3 of last year. The business maintained its focus on study abroad business during the quarter as we see heightened interest among students to go abroad. We continue to invest in making our content more comprehensive and more student friendly and building deep domain expertise in the space. Moving on to the 99acres business. In 99acres, billings in Q3 grew by 15.7% year on year and stood at rupees 71.1 crore, while revenue grew from rupees 58.6 crores in Q3 to rupees 72.9 crores in Q3 of 2022-23. YTD billings stood at rupees 207.9 crores, a year-on-year growth of 36.8%, while revenue stood at 209 crores, a year-on-year growth of 33.9%. The operating loss for the quarter stood at rupees 23.2 crores against a loss of rupees 22.6 crores in Q3 of last year. The business reported a cash outflow from operations of rupees 19.9 crores for the quarter against an inflow of rupees 1.7 crores in the same quarter of last year. Revenue growth was recorded across all key categories in the real estate segment, resale, rental, commercials, and new homes. We experienced higher acceptance of our premium listing amongst brokers during the quarter, and the platform also witnessed growth in responses and traffic during the quarter. We will continue to invest in platform content, client delivery, and marketing in the months to come. Moving on to the matrimony business, Jeevan Sathi. In Jeevan Sathi, Q3 billings declined by 30.1% year-on-year to Rs. 17.1 crore, and revenue declined by 26.3% year-on-year to Rs. 17.9 crores. YTD billings stood at Rs. 51.7 crores, a year-on-year decline of 30%, while revenue stood at 58.9 crores, a year-on-year decline of 21.3%. The operating EBITDA losses stood at Rs. 25.3 crore for the quarter, against a loss of Rs. 37.2 crore in the same quarter of last year. Cash outflow from operations for the quarter stood at Rs. 27.2 crores, against an outflow of 21.3 crores in Q3 of last year. Our free chat model continues to drive profile growth and engagement on the platform. We had a significant reduction in advertising and marketing spends during the quarter, backed by compelling proposition and effective marketing campaigns. The quarter also saw a complete revamp of the user experience on the apps and helped us improve, helping us improve discoverability of profiles on the platform. A few paid products were launched in December to experience monetization with an increasing increased user base. Aisle also continues its growth trajectory during the quarter. Vernacular apps in the space remain a strong idea of focus for us. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at Rs. 589.5 crores in Q3 of this year versus 421.4 crores in Q3 of last year. For the consolidated entity, at the total comprehensive income level, there is a loss of Rs. 399.6 crores versus a gain of Rs. 4,566.2 crores for the corresponding period last year, for the corresponding previous year quarter ending December 31, 2021. Adjusted for the exceptional items, PBT stood at a profit of Rs. 511.2 crores in Q3 versus 2,624.8 crores in Q3 of last year. Thank you. We are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
So we'll wait.
Thanks. Thanks, Adesh. We'll now begin Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to take a question may raise your hand on the screen. We'll take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. We'll wait for a second till the question queue builds up.
So we have questions, Vivek. I'll take them one by one.
Sure.
The first question comes from Nitin Jain from Fairview Capital. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, my question is, thank you for the opportunity first. My question is on the 4B networks write-off. So if you could clarify the rationale for, writing it off, because I think until 2 quarters back, company was still investing in 4B. So what explains the sudden change? Thank you.
Chintan, you want to take that?
Yeah. No, so you are right, we, and like Hitesh also explained in his prepared commentary that, we were pretty optimistic, and we have been investing, and they also kind of were growing, showing good growth. They had built a solid team as well. But in last, few months time, given their rate of cash burn and the overall funding environment, the way it has changed, there's a lot of uncertainty about, the future, funding environment. And I think that's what is kind of causing us, following the principles of conservatism, that we thought that we should take a full write-off in this case.
They had an interesting idea when we first invested, and the company did well for a while. And they were, at one point in time, 30% of all site visits in Bombay were happening through their app, and which is why we invested more money. But I think the market has suddenly turned, and it's difficult to sort of see the company raising money going forward. I guess that's why we want to be conservative, and that's why we've sort of written down the investment.
Okay. And just a follow-up on that, when you say the market has suddenly turned, are we seeing a similar impact in our real estate business, 99acre?
No, I meant the funding market.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Nitin. Next question is from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. I just have two questions. So one, obviously a pretty significant improvement in margins in the quarter, specifically in the recruitment business, right? As we look ahead, you've called out a little bit of challenges on the IT side. So I'm just wondering, how should we think about it and how should we think about your A&P spending in that regard? And my second question is a slightly different one, Hitesh. I'm just wondering, on the recruitment side, there are probably a lot of consultants who use your platform and then do other recruitment allied activities, right? Including platforms, which probably use it, resumes from your site and help companies build teams, etc. So do you look at these kinds of platforms who use your who use Naukri differently? Do you monetize them differently?
Right. To answer your first question, see, we are seeing a slowdown in IT hiring. Our IT hiring was on fire for about 7-8 quarters. And that is why, you know, we were able to release great results for the last few quarters. And that's why our margins also improved substantially over the last, you know, couple of years. What we are seeing now is a slight slowdown in IT hiring. But non-IT hiring continues to be strong, continues to be solid. If you look at our job speak for the month of January, which we released recently, IT hiring was down 25%, but non-IT hiring, but overall hiring was still up 2%. And because certain segments, non-IT segments are growing at 90%, 70%, 50% as well. So the non-IT market continues to be hot, and that's about, you know, 45-50% of our business. So a lot will depend on what happens to IT hiring going forward. If IT hiring bounces back strongly within a quarter or two, you know, and the Indian economy continues to grow at 6% or so per annum, you know, we should be fine, right? As far as our pricing model, pricing goes, you know, we don't treat, you know, platforms who, so as far as we are concerned, we sell our access to our database, and there are some terms and conditions which people buy, who buy that access, are bound by. And as long as they adhere to those terms and conditions, we don't price, you know, things separately for different customers.
Got it. Thanks. Yeah, those were my two questions. Thank you so much.
Anand, you're on mute.
Thanks, Vijit. Next question is from Swapnil from JM Financial. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, hi, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on your impairment side. So given that we are impaired 4B networks now, is there a realistic possibility that there could be more impairments coming in other investments that we have done in the past? So that's my first question.
Look, may I take that, Hitesh?
Yeah, please.
See, there is nothing to announce right now, but in the AIFs, we have a portfolio, fund one, we have a portfolio of 28 companies, right? It's perfectly possible something be impaired in this environment, but there's nothing visible right now. We shall make announcements as and when we become cognizant of any need to impair. As far as strategic is concerned, I'm not sure, but Hitesh, I mean, maybe you can take that.
Yeah, see, you know, this is a fast-changing environment, and the funding environment, you know, I mean, and companies are sort of reevaluating their, all the companies in our portfolio also, they're sort of, they've gone back to the drawing board, and they're looking at their plans, growth plans once again. And, you know, of course, some companies are under more stress than other companies. So, you know, right now, we don't have visibility on any other sort of impairment or any other asset impairment in our portfolio. But, you know, the situation is dynamic, and things change, likely to change with every quarter. So let's see what happens going forward.
But you can, I mean, what we are committed to is the principles of good governance, fair disclosure, correct disclosure. And so as and when things arise, we will disclose, should they arise.
Got it. And the second question is with respect to competitive intensity in 99acres and Jeevansathi. Your losses have come down on a sequential basis over there. Has the intensity come down a notch due to macro factors and funding concerns for the competition? Or we have taken a strategic decision over there to not spend much and conserve cash?
So in Jeevansathi, you know, we have changed the business model, and we are now, chat, for example, on Jeevansathi is now free, and we experimenting with this new model, and we are hoping that because there is stuff we give out for free, we will not have to spend as much money on marketing going forward. So we're experimenting with our marketing spend, and we started bringing it down slowly. And that's and hopefully it will not impact our profile acquisition, and it will not impact our revenue growth going forward. But early days on this one. So let's see how this evolves. As far as competition is concerned, they continue to spend like they were spending earlier. But if we start spending less, maybe they will also spend less going forward. Who knows? As far as 99acres is concerned, see, again, we are trying to optimize our marketing spend a bit. We are working on a few interesting ideas. It's not as if competitive intensity has changed, but we are taking a breather, and we are sort of revisiting our strategy and optimizing stuff at our end, and then we'll see how the site responds. And let's see what happens going forward. This is not, an indicator of things to come. Let me put it this way: we are just conducting some experiments, and as a result of these experiments, sometimes marketing spend may go down, sometimes it may go up.
Okay. And just one more question, if I can squeeze in. Given that we have a high base billings in Naukri from last year, is it a realistic possibility that the billings can degrow in 4Q, on a Y and Y basis, given the slowdown in IT hiring, and IT contributes a significant proportion of billings? So,
it is a possibility. Of course, an internal target, we set a target, which is a growth target. We are internal target is 15% growth, but we don't know where we'll end up because we've seen a slowdown in billing growth over the last 2-3 quarters. And Q1, our billing growth was 70-80%. In Q2, it came down to 50-odd%. In Q3, it went down to 20-23%. So fingers crossed on what will happen in Q4. We expect IT billing, non-IT billings to continue to sort of be solid because, if the job seek is any indicator, that market is still hot. But IT billing, we don't know whether we've hit the bottom as yet, right? And so it's hard for me to predict what's going to happen in Q4.
Cool. Thanks a lot for answering those questions. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Swapnil. Next question is from Nikhil from Nuvama. Nikhil, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Hitesh, basically, I'm continuing with what Sapnil has said. Then in IT, where recruitment was very solid, has completely came to a standstill. You're seeing results from most of the IT services company. There's hardly any hiring. When we discuss with IT services company, they are saying that they are looking for monetizing what they have already hired. They are looking to increase their utilization. So can that, and even the hiring in coming quarter would be greater mix for freshers, where that would be direct hiring rather than through Naukri. So can the impact could be limited to quarter, or the impact could be lower, like 6 to 9 months, longer period of impact on our billing and overall growth? And second question is on investment. So last time in your call, you talked about that we are a bit conservative on investing on startup and new investment. Are we continuing with our policy, or we are using the opportunity because of the decline in valuation to invest more? Thank you.
I'll let Sanjeev take the second one, but I'll answer the first question. IT hiring has not come to a standstill because, it's not about just... net hiring, is about gross hiring. So, attrition rates continue to be high in a lot of companies. So attrition rates have, of course, started trending south, but companies need to also replace a lot of people to stay at the same number. And you're absolutely right in saying that they're perhaps adding less people, than they were adding earlier. But attrition rates, when I last checked, were reasonably high in a lot of IT services companies still. And it's not as if our business in IT has come to a standstill. We're still closing deals. We're still getting clients to renew with us, et cetera, et cetera. What is happening is that, the volumes have gone down, of course, compared to, compared to 6 months ago. And clients are taking longer to close deals and negotiating harder, like is always the case in such situations. Will this continue for one quarter or three quarters? I don't know. A lot will depend on what happens in the US market. Right now, there's also a lot of bad press around companies laying off in the US, et cetera, et cetera. And that's started impacting sentiment on the ground. Our startup India also seems to be in some trouble. So that's also had an impact on some on sentiment here. But what we've seen in the past, at least, and I can tell you from our past experience, that whenever there is a recession in the US, whenever there's a slowdown in the US, in the short term, you know, for a couple of quarters, hiring in India slows down. But in the long term, actually more and more jobs are outsourced to India. So if that happens this time around also, then who knows, you know, IT hiring could pick up actually in a very big way going forward. But it's hard for me to predict what will happen and at this stage.
Yeah, on the second question, could you please repeat it? I couldn't hear you properly.
Sanjeev, so basically during last earning call, you mentioned that we are going a bit slow on investing in startup, new age companies.
I don't think I could have said that. Maybe I miscommunicated. What I did say was we are being more careful and therefore a bar for evaluation is higher. We are not now worried about missing an investment. We are more worried that we don't do the wrong one, especially since you know, we don't know if there'll be a follow-on round from another investor or not. There might be, but there might not be because everybody is being a little bit more careful. So we are investing, but we are being a little slower and more careful.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you, Tesh. And thank you, Kunji.
Yeah, thank you, Nikhil. The next question is from Deep Shah from BK Securities. Deep, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So Hitesh, I hear you well that you are trying a lot in 1980s and some experiments are on the way. I just want to understand better if you could help us, because the fact is that we have been growing revenue. So the market has not become like the matrimonial market, where things are sluggish. So we have been doing revenue, but at the same time, maybe it's marketing, maybe it's something else, which is always kept in the red. So if you could just explain how the market is panning out, is it that the overall size is not increasing, it's only digital spends which is going up? And what are we trying to do? If you could elaborate a bit more, that would be very useful, because this was a massive opportunity in all of our understanding, but then the monetization is only getting protracted.
Let me just explain. So see, for a long time, the real estate market was in trouble, you know, in the sense that, you know, not enough people were buying property, prices were not moving up, unsold inventory had been going in different cities, and customers had been cutting their spend, right? And transactions had fallen, you know, off a cliff. In fact, even in 2019 or 20 or even 21, maybe they were still lower than what they were 10 years ago. What we've seen is a turnaround in the market, at least. The sentiment has changed. There is enough interest in real estate. People are buying. Prices are going up. You know, the market has consolidated over time, though, right? There are fewer developers and they have a larger sort of share of the market than was the case 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Of course, digital spending has also grown, and you know, customers are spending more than earlier. In fact, we may be now in a situation where, you know, a lot of the projects are getting sold without spending because there's so much interest in the market, which is also not good news for us, because we like we always like the market to be somewhere in the middle, because if it's very easy to sell real estate, nobody's required. So that's the danger. But you know, again, home loan rates have started going up, and so on and so forth, and so we'll sort of hit, you know, equilibrium in some time. As far as we are concerned, our revenue is growing. We are up maybe more than 30% over last year for the first 9 months of this year. We are investing a lot more in the business, both in marketing and in content creation and in user experience on the platform. Of course, we got hit very badly during COVID. And our costs have gone a little out of control over the last couple of years because of COVID. And because the tech market was also very hot, we had to give heavy increases to retain our talent and so on and so forth. Things are now beginning to normalize and stabilize on that front. And if we are able to continue to grow revenue going forward, then things should be fine. At the same time, the comparative intensity in our space has also increased because you know, there are a lot of well-funded players like Housing, for example, which is owned by REA. They'd be very aggressively spending in the market to acquire customers, to acquire users. There are other well-funded VC startups also who've been sort of making a lot of noise. So while the market is growing, at the same time, competitive intensity has also increased substantially over the last 7-8 quarters. So we have a few good ideas. We're working on them, and if we are able to execute well, then things should start getting better. But if the competitive intensity continues to increase, then we will be forced to respond to defend our position. And so let's see how this plays out in over the next few quarters.
Right. Hitesh, thanks for that. Again, I know you've answered these in the previous quarters, but and correct me if I'm wrong, but what we've seen is, despite the on and offs in the real estate space, the broking or the offline broker community, they have done pretty solid in this period before what you pointed out, that properties are being sold even without intervention. So where has been that reluctance to re-enter this market? We've been in this market earlier, I guess, 2014 or 15 sometime. Where is this reluctance to enter this market coming from? And is it not
the broking
just
market, the broking market you're saying?
Yeah, so the offline broking market. And if you just better explain to us what is the perspective of not getting on the ground.
Yeah, so that's a very different business. It's a transaction business. And see, we as run a platform where we actually today, work with over 20,000 brokers, large and small. We work with hundreds of channel partners. We work with, mom and pop shops. We work with resale brokers, rental brokers, commercial brokers, channel partners who sell new homes. We work directly with builders as well. So the model we are pursuing is very different. It's a marketplace model, advertising-led model, listing-led model. We don't get into the transaction. We just enable the transaction. We just enable handshakes. In the long run, we feel that if you are able to dominate this market, margins can be very, very solid, just like we have you see in the Naukri business. The analogy there would be, why don't we not become a consultant? Why don't we not become a recruitment firm? Some years ago, we took that call that we did not want to be a recruitment firm. We wanted to be a marketplace. Now, the problem in real estate is that unlike in the recruitment space where we dominate, here there is more competition. And therefore, we're not able to realize the kind of margins we realize in Naukri. Now, can we become a broker? We can. But, frankly, there are hundreds of brokers out there. There's not much difference between them. Sure, you can make some money, like all recruitment firms make money, right? But that business is hard to scale. And in a good time, they all look good. In a difficult time, it's very, very hard to survive as a broker. And that business is not very tech intensive. And it scales with headcount, it scales with people, it does not scale with technology. So our view is that, you can get a lot of revenue, you can get some profit, but it's very hard to build a very valuable brokerage, right? On the other hand, if we are able to win in this space, we may not win because there may be just one or two winners, then you can build a valuable business. And we would therefore rather focus on this than spread ourselves too thin and trying to do many things at the same time.
Right. Hitesh, that's...
The other thing I want to say, if we become a broker also, then many of the brokers may not want to work with us. So that's the other challenge of wanting to become a brokerage.
No, right, Hitesh, thanks. That's a very interesting perspective. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Deep. The next question is from Aditya from Macri. Aditya, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Hitesh. Hi, Sanjeev. Thank you for the candid remark. Sanjeev, maybe the first question for you on the AIF. Where are you putting new capital to work, if at all? And maybe if you can also provide some context in terms of what are the types of opportunities which might have looked interesting maybe 12 months back, but now in this environment, you're not really pursuing.
So we've always been wary of stuff like crypto, and this is from the beginning. And therefore, one of the internal discussions we have is, if you can't understand it, don't invest in it. And, we've sort of were impaired in our understanding of crypto. Similarly, Web3, I think it's a great idea, great concept, but we don't know what the use cases that could make money. So we're a little slow on crypto and Web3, but that's not new. We've been slow since the last couple of years, ever since we first heard of it, right? So we may have done one or two investments to have a flavor of Web3 and crypto. We are likewise skeptical of Meta. We don't understand it. We have not done it. So in that sense, we are a little slow off the blocks in this new stuff, which we until we fully comprehend, and until the fog lifts, what will work, what will not work. Having said that, you know, we are doing some frontier technology in Capital 2B. We continue to consumer internet, B2B SaaS, mobile app in InfoEdge Ventures Fund 2. Typically, we don't do sectors and do it top down. We do it bottom up, which is like stock picking for you guys. If there's a good team chasing a good thing that looks like it could work, is getting some traction, look at it closely. And if you really continue to like it, you know, as you do a deep dive, maybe you can go into it. Some amount of caution, you know, we are looking at not doing very large first checks. Given the environment, we are sort of reducing the risk. We are looking at possibly co-investing with others, again, to share the risk and to get more deep pockets around the table. But like I said, it's bottom up, it's not top down.
Maybe Hitesh, for you, and apologies for the generic nature of the question, but what are your top three priorities for InfoEdge?
Sorry, I can you repeat that?
What would be your top three priorities for InfoEdge this year?
Top three priorities for InfoEdge, huh? So one, of course, you know, we want to sort of continue to grow our Naukri business, rapidly. We've done really well for the last 7-8 quarters, and Naukri actually grew like a startup, and we've also sort of acquired a lot of assets in adjacent areas, and after a long time, we're seeing India also sort of grow at a faster rate. The Indian domestic sort of economy is doing well. I was just telling somebody 10 or 12 years ago, you know, the infra sectors, you know, all the heavy engineering and construction, real estate, you know, all these sort of, you know, roads, construct, railways, power, all these sectors together were as big as IT for us. But then all capital spending came to a stop for a long time. And, they stayed where they were, and IT grew 4 or 5x. So, hopefully with the government sort of, taking up infra spending on priority, you know, some of these sort of jobs will come back, and these sort of verticals will also start growing rapidly for us. So the Naukri business continues to be our number one priority, because that's our bread and butter business. It generates all our profits. We need to defend our market share. We are investing in adjacent areas. We are investing in the core platform. We have set up a very high quality AI and machine learning team to improve the user experience for both the job seekers and customers. So Naukri, without any doubt, continues to be a number one priority. Then, of course, the other verticals we are in. So, you know, we realize that, you know, these verticals have been struggling for a long time, and something or the other has sort of kept them from sort of breaking away from competition. So 99acres is a very important priority for us. And personally, I'm spending a lot of time on that vertical. To see, and it's not a small vertical anymore. We have an internal billing target of 100 crores and 99acres for Q4. We'll see where we end up, but the run rate is getting better with every, and it can become a large business over time if it gets the focus and attention it needs. So that's an important sort of priority for the company. Shiksha has surprised us. Shiksha has been growing at a reasonable rate, and without us focusing and spending too much energy and time on the business, it's now profitable with business. It's small, but profitable. So the other verticals, are important. We are also sort of spending a lot of time on our blue collar job board, JobHai. You know, we have been sort of test marketing it, testing it out in a few cities, and early signs are encouraging. So at some point in time, we'll want to sort of scale that up as well. And till some time back, and continues to be, of course, but attracting and retaining high quality talent was a top priority for us, because the startup market was super hot, and it was getting harder and harder to attract and retain people. Thankfully, that's come under control now, because we are now seen as a stable, mature business. And because the startup scene has slowed down, it's also an opportunity for us to attract and some good new talent into the company. That will always remain a top priority for us.
Thanks, Hitesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Aditya. We have follow-up question from Nitin Jain from Fairview Capital. And this is the last question I have. In case there are more questions, I request people to raise hand so that I can take them one by one. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. My question is both for Hitesh and Sanjeev. So I'd like to, you know, pick your brains as in, you know, drawing on your previous experiences where there have been such funding winters in the market. And has it like, has it been a strategic advantage for a firm like a cash-rich firm like Naukri? Because we keep continuously, you know, investing in newer businesses. So if you could share your experience, thank you.
You want to go first, Hitesh?
Yeah, so see, this is an opportunity, but you have to keep at it. So what you have to do things right. So you, we are, like you said, we are cash rich. Now, if the market slows down and we continue to invest because we are cash rich, then when the market comes back, we will emerge stronger. So in Naukri, for example, right now the market is slowing down a bit. But see, in Naukri, we're already dominant. So, but still, you know, if we continue to sort of invest in Naukri as if there is no slowdown, our position will be even stronger when the market comes back, especially if our competition starts or cuts down on its sort of investments in their businesses. In 99acres, the same thing could play out, but the 99acres market is not slowing down. So I don't expect competition to slow down their investments in real estate. The real estate market continues to be solid. So we don't see any slowdown on that front. But on the whole, you're right. In a slowdown, if a company continues to invest in its business, then when the market comes back, you know, it's great for the company, especially if others cut down on their investment.
Yeah, I'll add to that. You see, if I look back, right, first, let's go back to the year 2000-2001. There was a dot-com meltdown, bubble burst. Around that time, now, partly out of ignorance, partly out of, you know, misplaced confidence, we did not sack people. In fact, we hired 80 salespeople in 2001 at a time when our competition was let go of 80 salespeople. Now, a decision like that really helped us because we continue to grow and we came out of that meltdown profitable, right, as compared to when you went in. Then you look go to the global financial crisis. There we had a 43 or 44% traffic share at the beginning of the global financial crisis. 3 years later, we had a 63% traffic share, right? In Naukri, I'm talking Naukri, and that's largely because our competition, Monster, Times Jobs, they all let go of salespeople. We did not let go of people. We simply did not sack. We were happy to live with lower profits for you know, two or three quarters. We said we will keep our capabilities alive and intact. Competition cut advertising, I remember, by 60 or 70%. We cut advertising by only 15%. Once again, we said we'll take lower profits, but we will keep the business capability and the brand salience intact. That paid rich dividend. And therefore, when we came back with a roar. Let's take a look at 2020, right? COVID, lockdown, Naukri was minus 44% YOY in quarter one of 2020-21, April, June 2020, minus 44% billing growth YOY. You know, we requested Chintan, saying, listen, can you stress test our, you know, our P&L balance sheet and our cash reserves? And the question we put to him was, if we have zero revenue, if revenue goes down to zero, and we cut marketing expenses zero and you have zero increments, how long can we live as a company with the current cash reserves? And the answer he came back with was 3 years. The moment he said that, we said, okay, that's enough, you know, that's enough runway. And we simply did not downsize. At a time during COVID when a lot of other companies are downsizing, you know, we simply said, listen, we are a people's company. This is the wrong time to let go of people, as it is that tense with COVID. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. If you let go, then we don't know what will happen to them. They'll never get a job. At the same time, you know, this thing will turn around and good time, and you know, and we'll start growing again. We don't know when, but we'll start. And you know, so preserving our capabilities in times of recession and not cutting back on investments too much has paid us rich dividends on three separate occasions, 2008-9 and again 2020. So of course, as Hitesh said, you got to cut the right, cut some expenses, keep the right ones intact, be a little more careful about how you're investing. And if you manage that right, hopefully, it will help. You want to add something, Hitesh?
No, see, you're right. But like I said, in the case of Naukri, the question of laying off, et cetera, does not arise. But there's very little to gain in the sense that we already 70-80% of the market. But yes, in our newer verticals, in all the new businesses that we acquired, there's still massive opportunity to grow. Whether it's iimjobs or whether it's JobHai, which is just a startup inside the company, we will continue to invest in these verticals because there is we're just starting, right? And we don't have any constraints. Profitability may go down for a while, but like I said, in the past, we've seen even when the companies have laid off in the US, after a couple of quarters, have come back and strongly and hired very strongly in India, because that's part of their sort of part of the solution. India is part of the solution to cut cost. So, in the other verticals, we're not seeing any slowdown at the moment, in the market at least.
Okay, great. Thank you, both of you. That's quite insightful. Just a follow up on that. So how does your nature of funding change in such times? Like, do you concentrate more on manpower or technology or ad spends or?
In the long run, we believe that, it's the investment in product, technology, user experience is what takes you ahead, right? We will continue to invest aggressively in these areas, and we've never cut headcount. In fact, the headcount has always grown in this part of the business, number one. Secondly, we believe that we need to invest in new cutting edge emerging areas. So we've been investing very aggressively in AI and machine learning for the last few years now. We've set up a new team for AI and machine learning. We are experimenting with video content and so on. So in the new areas, we want to invest and we will continue to invest more, because if you get that right, you can actually help your you can move your business to the next level. So we don't want to cut down on investing in new emerging areas. It's important for the long-term sort of health of the company. Marketing spend is something you can play around. You can turn on the tap anytime, turn off the tap anytime. And there it's, often a function of, what we measure is share of voice. If our competition is spending a lot, then you have to spend a lot. But if competition cuts down, but let's say we are at X and competition at X, and they suddenly go to zero, then you can go down to X by 2 also, it doesn't matter, right? You'll still get your growth. There it's more a function of how much is competition spending more than anything else, because you don't want to lose share of voice. If others stop spending and you spend even a little bit, you're still okay. But if others are spending a lot and you stop spending, then you start to lose market share. So there, I think we go by, what the others are doing more than anything else, because it's not required to, you don't need to spend a lot of money if others are not spending.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nitin. Vivek, that was the last question we had for today. So do we wait for some time?
Then we can conclude the call. So ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude the call. Thank you for joining us in the evening today. You may disconnect your lines.
Thank you all. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.